Thank you for listening to this audio recording from LimoPlanet 2020 Free the Future. The following talk was presented at LimoPlanet, the Free Software Foundation's annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology. For more information on LimoPlanet, visit limoplanet.org/conference. LimoPlanet is a live conference with speakers who often use visual slides in their presentations. We have only selected talks for this audio feed that do not overly rely on visuals, but if you would like to see a speaker's slides, they are available at media.limoplanet.org. LimoPlanet speakers do not represent the Free Software Foundation. As part of our mission to show how important free software is to everyone, we have speakers talking about their use of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take positions on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedoms of all computer users, LimoPlanet is made possible by thousands of individuals who, like you, donate what they can. To keep this work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join or making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss.
Hello, I am Ben O'Neill, and I would like to talk about free software and the environment. So when people think about free software, usually what they think about is, well, there are three main things that people usually think about when they think about free software, which is it's ethical, which is obviously the main focus of a lot of people that are free software advocates, but it's also collaborative, which is very helpful in for like people that love to hack with their code and stuff. And it's secure, and no one is spying on you and stuff. But there's one other thing that makes free software stand out, which is that in a lot of cases, it helps the environment. And a lot of people don't realize that. So basically, let's look at the main differences between free software and proprietary software, which is in free software, users can maintain and port the software. They have good documentation generally. They have four essential freedoms and control over the software, which is important. The control part is important in this case because, and of course, the first and second are very important. In proprietary software, the users cannot maintain nor port the software. Documentation can hide things from the users. The software has control over the users. So basically, if it doesn't sound like it has anything to do with the environment on the surface, but it actually does. So using free software to refurbish is one thing that really, it's much more beneficial to use free software to refurbish because it's ethical. It prevents excess waste. So people that are using free software, if their license key expires, or if they stop getting updates, then you still have, like, you can just switch it to free software, and it's also not mistreating the users. It's cheap. So most GNU/Linux distributions are provided free of charge, or gratis. So basically, that means that when you're refurbishing a laptop to say sell it on or to use it yourself, you do not have the extra charge, extra cost. And if you are a business that is refurbishing a load of computers, then you can copy the software to the other computers at no additional cost. So if you buy free software from someone, then you can copy it to someone else's, which is helpful, or to another computer. It's also reliable. which means you can maintain the software yourself or let the community do it. In most cases, the community will do most of the work, which is helpful. This is different from using Windows or something, or Mac OS or whatever, where you're not using free software, so the software is being maintained by a company, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing, you can't change it yourself and port it to your older system. And also, most computers run GNU/Linux with little to no difficulty nowadays. So that's very different than it was, say, 10 years ago. Obviously, I wouldn't know, but it was much more difficult to get wireless drivers, especially stuff like that, working on GNU/Linux, but it's much easier now. So these are the main points about why using free software to refurbish is much more helpful, and it makes the whole process easier if you're a small business, or even if you're just refurbishing it for yourself or your friend or whatever. So another thing is, free software is used in a lot of cases to on older machines that can be to basically use modern software on older machines to do tasks without worrying about security or privacy or anything like that. So Arch GNU/Linux 32 continues 32-bit support. So mainline Arch, the regular Arch distribution, halted support for 32-bit. I think it was last year or the year before. But after that, there was a fork, and that continued it. And actually, Parabola GNU/Linux Libre uses that, uses Arch 32 to keep both 32-bit and 64-bit support on their operating system. So, and there was also this case, pretty relevant case, of this refurbisher who sold he had a business that sold system repair disks for use with refurbished machines, but they weren't running free software, but they were running gratis software. So he didn't have to pay, anyone could download them from the Microsoft website, but they weren't able to copy it necessarily for commercial use. So with free software, obviously, he could have done that. But older computers are generally not viable to be supported. Like, it's just out of the company's the company that owns the software. It's out of their there's no benefit to them of maintaining the software. So if it was free software, then the people that are using it can keep using it on their older machines. So there are a couple of projects that use free software for environmental sustainability, even if it's not one of their main points. The EOMA68 is a modular computer architecture which uses you can, I believe, 3D print your parts for your computer on there, and that is very sustainable approach, because you don't have to replace the whole computer. It's also, you can 3D print it, so if you have the initial spending of getting a 3D printer, it's relatively cheap financially, I guess. That's not the point of this, but Coreboot and Libreboot work on many older machines. They're free software, although Coreboot does have binary blobs, but they generally only work on older machines, which is something that I would like newer, we would like newer machines to run it, but I mean, it helps free the older machines, so it gives you a reason to use an older machine. And FreeGeek is another project based in Oregon, I believe, and they refurbish and repair computers and they install GNU/Linux on them. So I don't, I think they install Mint or something, but so these projects, they have, well, they believe, they believe, even if it's not one of their main goals, in the sustainable use and reuse of computers. So they also believe in the right to repair, which is a very popular topic in the realm of hardware and software computers in general, which is it's often thought about with hardware, but it should apply to software too. And if your software is somehow like obsolete or something, you should be able to change it to be able to make it work better on your machine. Or but a lot of people don't want to use an older laptop today, which is an issue because there's a lot of, like, obviously they don't look as good, they're older, but they're not as old as you'd think. The hardware is still comparable to today's hardware, at least for the basic needs, maybe not for intense graphics processing, something like that. But if you're browsing the web, if you're what else do people do, like editing documents or something, that's fine. Like, you shouldn't have issues with that. On an older laptop today, I'm talking like 10 to 12 years old, compared to, at most, compared to if you were using one 10 to 12 years old, 10 to 12 years before. So CPU power is not very different. Hardware is usually upgradable, which means I might not be able to get the full potential of modern day hardware, but you can still add RAM, you can still add storage, so it's not as difficult as like if you were doing this 10 years ago with a 10-year-old computer at the time, and it is less expensive. You can find a lot of these computers either in, either if you already had one, just keep using it, get back to using it, or you can buy one online probably in a store. But it prevents excess waste, which is the important thing about this talk, which is that it stops people from putting n using things before, well, stopping using things before they actually physically break or are actually unusable. But a lot of people just don't know how to install free operating system on their computer. They don't have an older computer, so they can, like, if they have an older computer, can have someone install a free OS on their computer, which is one option, or they can donate or sell their computer and buy another refurbished one, which there are a lot of places that actually do this. They'll sell refurbished computers with free software operating systems pre-installed. Obviously they're small businesses, so their prices are kind of higher, but oh, I thought I had a slide about which ones, but anyways, so they the ones that yeah, so there are people that do that. Okay. I think that is it. That probably went a bit faster than I expected, but thank you for your time, and yeah.
All right, so if y'all have any questions for Ben, please tap him and type them out in the IRC and I can share them. So we do have a question for you, Ben, from the chat. What were the challenges that you faced while refurbishing old hardware for a sustainable future?
Well, I haven't done that personally. I mean, I just researched it because I am really interested in this, in terms of, I've talked about it, like, doing refurbishing stuff possibly in the future, but I mean, I'm just a student, so, I don't really, have much experience with it. I just found it very interesting, and I, looked into it a lot, so.
Do you have any like resources or bibliographies or anything of a list of what you've encountered in your research?
Yeah, I do. I didn't include it on the slideshow because I thought it
right. Was... Hey, Ben, there was another question here in the chat. How are you sharing the importance of using Libre tools at school while we have many proprietary tools out there at schools?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Okay, the question is, Ben, sorry, how are you sharing the importance of using Libre tools at school while we have many proprietary tools out there at schools?
I unfortunately have to use a lot of proprietary software in order to do school stuff, but I don't like it, and I openly, like, people know that I don't like it, but I don't know what I can do about it. I mean, all I do is just generally express that I would rather use free software, but I try not to be annoying about it, but I think it is important that in schools people are at least given the choice to use free software, especially with a lot of the platforms like Google Drive and stuff that we are unfortunately have to use in order to do school stuff.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today, and Ben for speaking, and the next session that's happening in this room starts in about 27 minutes, and it is called Stewarding Technological Freedom in Agriculture. So we'll see you again then. Thanks, everybody.